I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
In the night, your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, March 14th. We're almost St. Patty's Day,
almost
y'all.
Almost St. Patty's Day. And
it's coming.
Is it March 15th, the Ides of March?
That is. Oh, tomorrow. Well, let's hope.
What happens on the Ides of March?
Julius Caesar is stabbed to death, isn't he?
Oh, well.
So to celebrate, you go get Little Caesar's pizza.
Yeah,
pizza,
that's
pizza.
One way to celebrate.
Yes.
There's other ways one could celebrate as well.
Completely unrelated, but there's like a lot of fun TikToks going around where people are just like, what kind of music are you going to play when it happens?
I saw one that said, I'm going to get so belligerently drunk that it's going to be like, 2019. When I was like, hard relate. Don't even drink anymore, but might,
exactly.
Might raise a glass.
I really don't either. Well, it is saying if you do raise a glass, we hope you raise a glass of green beer wherever you may be.
I do remember going to Bennigan's though back in the day and getting green beer on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, green beer, green river water. I miss the Chicago celebrations. Mm-hmm. Always so much fun. But before all that, we've got a lineup of several stories to get to today. Wild stories. Thank you for everybody taking the time to write these in, including one that is timely, relevant, and just happened in Dallas while I was downtown, in fact.
It did. They seem to have had a much more harrowing experience than you did.
Yeah, I sort of showed up like that gif of John Travolta, like kind of looking around like, what's going on here? Because some shit went down before I showed up, certainly.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Well, this first one is the one we were just talking about. It's from Chelsea, and it's called Running for My Life Along with Thousands of Cheerleaders. And a content warning, this does discuss a potential mass shooting. Hey, ladies, I loved seeing you in San Diego last year. Come back soon. For this story, I was in your neck of the woods at the NCAA All-Star National Championship Cheer Competition the past weekend of February 28th through March 1st in Dallas. NCAA is arguably the biggest competition of the season, and we were so excited to finally go. My daughter is 10 years old and on a youth all-star team, so they performed Friday and Saturday. They totally crushed it on Friday, so we were riding a huge high going into Saturday. My sister and niece drove all the way from Arkansas to see them on Saturday, which was especially great because we rarely get to see my family. My daughter's team went on at noon on Saturday, and once again, slayed their routine. We were ecstatic. Happy tears were shed, hugs, pictures, and then celebratory Dippin' Dots in the next hall over while we waited for awards at 3 p.m. At about 1 p.m., the kids were finishing up eating, so we decided to head over and check out the action shots from their performance. We had just started to turn around and head over when we suddenly saw a horde of people running right at us from the next hall over. I initially thought they were trying to rush to see a team in the arena or another hall further down. But then I saw their faces and heard the screams. I honestly don't even remember hearing anyone say the words, but it suddenly clicked and I knew there was a shooter. Complete chaos. I looked around for my daughter and saw my sister had grabbed her and my niece, and we started running with the mass of people. Everyone was so frantic. They ran right past the emergency exits. I yelled to go to the exits, but it was too loud. I lost my family for the longest few seconds of my life. I ran out the emergency exit, down the stairs, and outside, and spotted my sister and daughter running up ahead. Hundreds of people were running from the building in every direction. When I caught up to them, we realized we lost my niece in the crowd. My sister told me to go ahead and she'd call me when she found my niece. My daughter and I hid around a big cement column in the parking lot and I tried to calm her down. Just then, another wave of people from the parking lot came screaming and telling us to run. The shooter followed us outside. Some people were trying to cross the street, but my daughter followed a crowd running down to the freeway. She was faster than me. I had her giant cheer backpack on, so I kept losing her in the crowd. I realized I had her phone in my back pocket and was trying to ignore the worst-case scenario going on in my head. We kept running and ended up at a dead end, forcing us to hop the freeway barrier and run on the freeway itself. I crossed under the overpass and saw my daughter at the top of the hill on the other side. I caught up to her and grabbed her hand. As we were running, I called my husband. When he answered, I blurted out that there was an active shooter and we were running outside. I couldn't talk and breathe at the same time, so he just heard panting, screaming, and wind. We ducked behind a freeway barrier for a few minutes and caught our breath. Our team parents' communication app was flooded with people saying where they were, some talking about getting barricaded in, some at their hotel that was now going into lockdown, some in a stranger's car heading to the airport. We were with a pack of about a dozen or so 12-year-old girls and one or two other adults. My daughter was asking where her friends were, and I was trying to keep the other girls calm too. My sister called me, but the connection was spotty and I couldn't understand her at all. And just when I thought we were safe hiding there, more people rushed at us from the other side again, screaming to run. I kept saying to myself, there's no way. We're so far away. There's no way the shooter could be all the way out here. But you simply can't gamble on that being the case. You have to run. No one knew what to do. The girls were running. The adults were trying to keep track of the girls and somehow think of some sort of a plan. And I was trying to decide if it was smarter to stay with the crowd or break off and find a place to hide so we didn't draw attention. There's no right answer. As we were running on the freeway again, people were flagging down passing cars and jumping in. As a pickup truck was driving away, a man and a little girl about my daughter's age fell out of the moving vehicle and rolled on the freeway. Luckily, they were okay. The girl was pretty banged up as I helped her back over the concrete barrier. We found another overpass bridge to take cover in, and one little girl was frantic. She borrowed a phone, but then started screaming, "My mom didn't answer! She's dead!" And us few adults there tried calming her, and now everyone else, down. My husband was looking up the Dallas PD scanner website. He said it was reported that a fight between some adults broke out and spilled into the convention hall, but there was reportedly no gun. It also looked like we were joined by an off-duty officer who had an ear radio and told us to stay put. So we stayed there, and I called my sister again. She was able to find my location on her phone and join us with my niece under the overpass bridge. After another 10 minutes or so, the cop stopped traffic on the freeway so we could hop over and cross back again. Then we walked back to the convention center area to my sister's car. We found some friends along the way and took them in the car, then went back to our hotel. As the shock slowly subsided, the crash set in. We were all exhausted, mentally and physically. We all still had no idea what to do. Try and find an earlier flight, Stay here and wait to see what our team rep said was the plan. Try and find the rest of the team again somewhere. Stay at the hotel. I didn't want to make any more decisions. We ended up driving to Bucky's with my sister, which proved to be a good plan. We kept our original flight for that night and finally made it home. They ended up reopening the convention center that night from 7 to 10 p.m. so people could get anything they left there, and then reopening the competition the next day. I can't imagine having to go back and do a performance as a kid that just went through that. The official report still says this was all caused by drunken parents getting into a fight. The fight is on TikTok, so it did happen. And the loud bangs people heard were supposedly poles falling over onto the floor. Plenty of people, including military spouses and registered gun owners, said they knew the difference between a gunshot and a pole hitting the ground. But the official police statement says otherwise. Because they reopened the competition the next day, people were back in the convention center, and I've now seen several videos of people showing multiple bullet holes in the glass. I hate to sound like a conspiracy nut, but it just doesn't add up if it was just a fight and some poles falling down. I get that it would be very easy to set off mass panic with thousands of people packed into a convention center, and I'm sure police would want to take every precaution in ruling out each scenario. But the overwhelming police and FBI reaction, the eye and ear witness accounts, the signs prohibiting firearms put up the next day, and the bullet holes don't quite add up to just a fistfight. Either way, real trauma happened when thousands of people, and mostly children, ran for their lives, and real injuries resulted from a mass panic. I flinched when we saw people running to make their flight in the airport because the mere sight of people running indoors was enough to set me off again. As I was watching TikToks of other people who were there, I actually came across a video someone took that caught me and my family the moment we started running. It's pretty surreal to watch yourself running for your life. I'll attach the screenshot of us from the video. I'm in the blue shirt, my sister is in the green and yellow shirt, and my daughter is in the cheer uniform. And a few other pics, some just before the chaos, some during. And I'll send the video on Instagram since I can't upload it here. Thanks for taking the time to read this, and thanks for letting me share my story.
Well, Chelsea, good God, you really went through.
These pictures are wild because when you say thousands of cheerleaders, you're not exaggerating, and literally like little cheerleaders, little girl cheerleaders in their cheer uniforms running in downtown Dallas, which is not a great place for a bunch of kids in cheerleader uniforms to be running around, and just mass panic and chaos. I mean, even here, this picture where they're standing on the freeway, like in the grassy median, you can see cars on the side that are like, you know, parked parallel to try and, I guess, help people or block traffic. It seems like a horrifying event for anyone to go through.
Oh, most definitely. And yeah, the aftermath of it. So that's what I got an alert because I was downtown watching my niece in a musical performance unrelated to the cheer thing. And it went off. Everybody's phone went off in the middle of the musical performance. And it said, avoid the area around the convention center at the NCA event. And then we got another message like 45 minutes later, again, interrupting, just like, which if this is truly an incident, like that's what it's for. We weren't mad about it. We were mostly like, are we okay? We were like 5 miles away, but it said like a reunification point has been established. And that's when we were all kind of like, oh shit, like something did occur, which would make sense. Say you're a parent in the audience. A lot of the footage of this on TikTok has been like, the team on stage when it's happening and the person coming over the announcement going, everyone, please leave the reunion, the arena, please leave the room. Everyone, please leave the room. So your kids are running backstage. You're running around. I mean, thankfully Chelsea was with her family when it happened, but just as easily you could have been one of those parents that like my kid ran backstage and even like I'm being told to leave.
Even losing them for a few seconds. Yeah. Like Chelsea said is terrifying.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, I've seen the fight. I've seen a lot of TikToks. I've seen the conspiracy theories about how a gun was involved, but they're keeping it. I got to say, I believe those bullet holes were already there.
It would make sense. Or they
honestly don't look like bullet holes. And that convention center has bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
So, they look like dings, but it's not like a through and through bullet hole. And yeah. I think it's one of those things that was probably already there because that building is very old and it's been there for a very, very long time. That doesn't mean, though, that, like you said, in the moment, nobody knows what all you know is
no,
this is a real threat. And we live in America, and this is a very real possibility that you would find yourself in.
No, definitely. I saw a series of debates, discussions on a Texas attorney forum, but it was the thread was parents of kids that were at this, whether they were there. One parent was like, I wasn't even there. I was getting calls. They were your husband, essentially Chelsea's husband, getting calls mm-hmm. of like, I heard screaming, I heard panting. But part of their discussion was like, you have invited 20,000 people, which is the number I've heard. So the same amount of people as would enter a American Airlines Center, which is our, you know, downtown arena where the Mavs play, and they do not have bag checks. They did
That's
not.
That's insane to me yeah. that they didn't have bag checks.
And she said, my daughter's giant cheer backpack.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we do live in a society where you have to go, a giant duffel bag, a giant bag can be used to bring, especially if nobody's looking in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So perhaps that is why the next day they did have those gun signs up, because they're like, we didn't even have these up, even, you know, whether there was a gunshot or not. I won't say it's a conspiracy, but I would not put it past if the Dallas police in their response discharged a weapon and have said no shots were fired at the convention center among any participants.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who said, I'm 100% sure I heard a gunshot, that doesn't mean you didn't hear, like I said,
also downtown Dallas. You may have also just heard a gunshot.
I was just also going to say, we also live in a city where both you and I, where we live, we hear gunshots.
Oh, I heard six in a row last night, and I was like, God damn. And then about a minute later, the sirens come, and I'm like, well, at least they're doing something about it.
At least someone's responding.
It's very common, unfortunately.
You know? Yeah. And whether it's like, for whatever reason, or mm-hmm. a person was caring and they thought they were being here, I don't know. But to me, I would not be surprised if it was like, okay, well, we don't want to tell them that, we don't want to freak everybody out and say a gun was discharged. But it is a true statement to say the people in the fight didn't discharge a gun, and nobody that was a participant discharged a gun. And like, that's technically still a true thing that you mm-hmm. would say as a police. So I don't know all that, but you're right. I think going in Dallas, there was gunshots in this. That must mean they were fresh. It's like, you are overestimating how nice we keep our infrastructure, which is to say, if it hasn't fallen down or they can't build a condo on it, they're not going to redo it.
No.
So,
yeah. If we haven't torn it down already.
But it was wild to see, like you said, downtown Dallas being not a place kids normally hang out. The Greyhound Station, which is right adjacent to the convention center, has a McDonald's next to it, which is the McDonald's is kind of was on its way out. I was told that potentially they were going to either level it or change it to something else. Because it's not a
rough one.
It's a rough McDonald's where it's mostly people from the Greyhound or people experiencing homelessness or just experiencing a tough time. They need somewhere to sit. The place was covered with cheerleaders and children. I have never seen that many people, much less non-adults that just potentially got off the Greyhound bus or got out of the courthouse that's not nearby there. So it was a strange scene to just see these people that had Detroit or San Diego or Indiana shirts on. And I'm like, you don't know where you are.
Yeah. Which isn't your fault because
not
you're
at
not
all.
From here. I mean, we've told the story about how in San Diego,
yeah,
we decided to just go to Mission Beach at like midnight. And that's not the place to be either unless you're looking for drugs or sex, turns out. Which,
right.
I'm not saying I wasn't looking for those things, but not from the people.
Not at
there.
The beach. No, but you're right. All that to say, it was like a weird, an aberrant situation. You're not going to be laying on the grass in front of the McDonald's by the Greyhound station unless you really thought some shit was going down.
I can't believe that an event of this size would not have had more security measures in place. I mean, you can't go to a concert without, if you're even allowed to take a bag in, them checking it, going through a metal detector. Especially an event with this many kids
is
mind-blowing to me that they didn't have any bag checks. And a emergency plan in place if some shit was to go down for whatever reason. What if there's a tornado alert? What if there's an alert like this? Who knows? But it seems like no one knew what to do, which creates chaos, which can create injuries that are related just to that, trampling and getting, you know, shoved down and shit, having to jump from a stranger's car.
Yeah.
Because you're so scared that there's a shooter on the loose, you're willing to get in a stranger's car on the Dallas freeway that you've never met with your kid.
jump in the back of the truck. We'll save you. To be fair, you know, I might take that versus running around downtown.
Oh, but for sure. If you're, I mean, as a parent in this situation, it's your absolute worst nightmare come true. And you are just in flight or fight mode. Like,
oh, certainly.
It doesn't, even if it's not like rational, you're just like in survival mode.
No, and I didn't fault the woman. There was a woman walking toward me on the street. It was a gaggle of cheerleaders, maybe in their teens, walking toward me. And one of the moms was like, stop walking, get back here to her daughter. And then I turned and looked, and the mom wanted her to stop walking because the mom was trying to take a photo of the back of her leg. There was a bruise that was, it looked like a grapefruit or a softball had hit this kid directly in that. Just a huge purple bruise on the back of her leg. And I thought, did she get stomped on? I mean, maybe though, you know, if you got knocked down or what would cause such a big thing? But obviously it was, you know, maybe 2 hours after the event. So I don't know if they dropped her during the routine, unfortunately, which would be a terrible thing. Or she got ran into, hit, stomped on, fell out of a car, whatever it was. But it's like, you're right. Now, in addition to, thankfully, you weren't injured by the shooting, but you're right. The response and the lack of a plan that's in place, because this Nationals is, I'm not into cheerleading. I don't fault anybody that is.
I love it. If I'd known this was going on, I may have gone to see it.
I don't know anything about, I just mean, I'm like, I didn't never do it. Nobody in my family knew to do it. But even as ignorant as I am, I know that Nationals is the biggest thing. This is like so huge. So you're right. It is a little bit odd that there was the not really policy in place, but I guess you take this as a, you know, be grateful that this even happened, that we only thought it was a shooter. Thankfully, it was just some poles falling down, because next year we're going to have this plan in place.
Yeah. Yeah. And to the drunk parents who were fighting over nachos and caused this fucking scene, I hope you're real proud of yourself.
Just like, let me go to the hotel bar and get wasted and come watch, you know, Kaylee do a backflip. And then some guy hits you because there's no jalapenos. And all of a sudden you're brawling and ruined this for all these kids who spent all year. Like you said, you're like all year. They were so, every face I passed walking away from me, I walked straight towards this, by the way, because my event was over. And I was like, I want to see what everybody's doing. But their faces, you know, that you spend all year trying to do that. And you could have been sad because you were, you know, it was a mass shooting event, thank God. But that there is still something to say that, like, you're never going to get that back, right?
I guess they let them perform still, but you've got to perform with the weight of all that on you. And you've got to go home with your idiot dad who, I don't know.
I would have taken him. I would have taken him. If they hadn't pulled me off of him, I would have won and nobody would have ran out. I'll tell you.
So embarrassing. And just like, of course, it was drunk parents. The parents are usually the problems in any of those events where a bunch of kids are doing a sport. Well, I'm so glad, Chelsea, that y'all were okay, that everyone was okay. There's a few bumps and bruises. Luckily, that's all there was. And yeah, I hope wherever it's held next year is better prepared for something, anything, because I just, in today's world, I don't understand how 20,000 people, most kids, go to an event with a ton of huge bags and nobody's doing bag checks or metal detectors. Like, and schools, the schools that they attend probably have metal detectors, and this event didn't.
No, truly. And as a Dallas resident, I will look into, and I'm offended that our own convention center doesn't have an internal policy. Like, it's one thing if the event holding it there doesn't have a policy, but then you say, but because we are the convention center and we want to keep our convention goers and the local public safe, we have instituted these measures. Yeah, so I don't know what it is. Or like you said, better marked safety exits. It sounds like Chelsea and other people struggled to even find the exit. So it needs to be extremely well marked because when the shit does happen, it is going to be mass chaos.
Yeah.
Learn from this.
I think even if there's a plan, mass chaos ensues because everyone just is envisioning the worst. But I don't know what the answer is, but it certainly wasn't what happened.
So I'm not at all.
Glad, Chelsea, that your kiddo, I'm glad they got to do their routine before this happened and they crushed both of them.
Yeah.
And I hope that they can hold on to those memories more than all the shit that came after.
For real. But I'm glad your sister got to visit too, because at least she didn't have to go through it alone.
True. Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Well, this next one is from Courtney, and similar vibes, but not the same. You know, it's the umbrella of terrorism, I suppose.
Yes, also San Diego.
True. Yeah. This is called Terrorists Lived in My Neighborhood. Hi, you guys. Not sure if you remember me, but I was the very nervous and excited redhead asking questions at the San Diego show. I said I would submit this story. I know your San Diego show was forever ago, but I tend to procrastinate. Before I begin, I just want to say thank you for coming to San Diego. My wife and I were so excited to see you in person, and doing VIP was a surprise for her that she still does not stop talking about. Your podcast continues to be on every trip we take up to the mountains to volunteer. We also recently went to Mission Beach and now can't help but think of your questionable nighttime visit there. Anyway, on to the story. I was born and raised in San Diego, and growing up there, I've run into some small brushes with true crime. One example is someone related to, or close to, Scott Peterson lived down the hill from my house. I was a little kid, but I still remember the news being outside the house for weeks as the case unraveled. However, little did I know, there were even more notorious individuals living only a few blocks from my house. My elementary school was not far, and there were these apartments right across from it. One of my dad's friends happened to live there, and she sometimes would come over for dinner after work. Well, one dinner, she was talking about how these new people moved in, and their apartment was strange. There wasn't much furniture, just a couch, a TV, and what looked to be a gaming console. We didn't think much of it. I mean, maybe they just couldn't afford more furniture or didn't spend a lot of time there. Who knows? Well, on September 11th, 2001, we woke up ready to go to school. And as you know, the first plane hit the first tower. My brothers have a different dad, and their dad called my mom saying, "Keep the kids home." At the time, he was in a type of intelligence-centered police department, obviously not Homeland Security because it didn't exist yet, but he had access to lots of information. Either he knew something or recognized signs of a terrorist attack. I don't talk to him, so I have no idea. Even if he didn't call, we probably still wouldn't have gone to school. Like you always hear, the world stood still. We joined the country in putting up our flags and lighting candles in remembrance of the victims over the next week. However, down the hill, only a few blocks from us, the U.S. government was raiding those apartments across from my elementary school. Two of the hijackers lived in those apartments, same apartment my dad's friend had mentioned to us over dinner. As kids, I didn't really know any of this was happening. I learned all of this when I got older because my best friend's mom was a teacher at our elementary school and thought we were eventually old enough to know. According to her, there was FBI at our school for months, watching the apartments and the mosque that was on the opposite side of our school. I believe the hijackers attended the mosque, but I'm not sure. Regardless, the mosque felt the pressure to put up an American flag in hopes of alleviating the Islamophobia that surged at the time. The community of that mosque was hurting with all of us, but people were so ignorant and didn't recognize that. Anyway, apparently a few FBI agents were undercover at my school as custodians or even subs. After time passed, and I guess the area was cleared, they removed the agents and moved on. I still pass those apartments every time I visit my parents and always think how we had some of the most notorious terrorists living in our neighborhood, and no one had a clue. Sorry if the story was a little all over the place. I was about 6 years old when all this happened, and obviously a lot of information came to me as I got older. Thanks for reading, and thank you for giving so many people a place to share their creepy and weird but true stories. Hopefully, I will stop procrastinating and write my paranormal stories in for next time. Keep it creepy.
Well, thanks for coming to the show, and thanks for asking us questions afterwards. This is wild. You don't know your neighbors.
I remember this happening. I remember them raiding apartments there, and I believe also in Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Where
flight training happened.
They had been living. Yeah, and isn't it so fucking eerie and terrifying that they're living there, and they know what they're going to do, and they're just playing Xbox because... You got to do something to pass the time before you fly a plane into a building, because that's how your life's ending in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and it's crazy. If you just do a brief Google search on the hijackers that were found in, you know, that were traced back to San Diego, like they're the two that hit the Pentagon is the thinking. But that in one of the PBS stations did a report, and they the FBI came in afterwards and were talking to people that knew the hijackers. They said some of them, the witnesses said, yeah, they were really quiet guys. They stayed to themselves. They were super conservatively religious. And then others were like, they were also regulars at this exotic dancer club. And one of them fell in love with the dancer and decided he was going to marry her. And then that got squashed by a religious advisor that they were talking to and stuff. So now you're like involved. I mean, this is a whole, they're living these whole lives.
Yeah.
Like you said, knowing that they have a date certain by which they're not only going to kill themselves, but thousands of others.
Yeah. Unless maybe love gets in the way. Maybe that's why they were like, you're getting out of this relationship. You've got a mission, and it doesn't include a stripper.
She could have saved the world. And that guy stepped in, who is also, it turns out, a terrorist, and I believe is the head of Al-Qaeda in another. He left San Diego afterwards and now runs Al-Qaeda, and at least as of, you know, a couple years ago, was one of the most wanted fugitives. But God.
It's wild. It's wild that you had undercover FBI agents at your school, too. Because like, I'm also like,
the new PE teacher.
If they were there beforehand, why didn't they pick him up beforehand?
Yeah, it's my understanding, and we always joke, not say jokingly say, but I think the now 20 over 20 years later, it's like the government let this happen. We talked about it in the NSA episode, right? Is that we had data and information that was not being analyzed, wasn't being focused on. And the FBI was just really interested in drug trafficking at the time and was not putting resources in place. I don't know that the FBI people were there before the attack. I think they came in afterwards to try to investigate. Maybe they did, and they just weren't doing a good job. But the argument is, absent plans that show what they're doing, or they've written it, or they've said it to someone, they were just living their lives. Just because they go to church.
Yeah.
They're going to this mosque. They go home, they go to work, they go pray. That's pretty much all they're doing. Secretly, we know they were planning this dastardly thing, but like, unless you're tapping their phones and they're saying what they're going to do, you really don't have probable cause to take them in.
Yeah, I don't know. She says, according to her teacher, the FBI was at the school for months watching the apartments and the mosque, which if you're watching it afterwards, yeah, I guess perhaps the bad guys have already left. If you were watching it beforehand, then that's on you, because if you knew enough to like set up shop there and it comes out after, you weren't wrong, they were living there, then there seems to be a disconnect. So
yeah, it was pretty badly handled on both sides.
Oh yeah. And I mean, you know, our government was definitely involved. So there's always that, but
aspect of it.
Knowing that, these people were just living amongst us for so long. Maybe right next door to you. You may have had an encounter with them. Who knows? You may have prayed next to them. And then you find out that they were only there for this is very, very eerie.
No, it definitely is. And just that idea that maybe then there's FBI agents at your school that you're like, I thought that was the janitor.
Yeah. And also, can just anybody be a substitute teacher? I thought you had to like have some kind of credentials to do that. And it's not being an FBI agent.
Yeah, I was going to say a college degree and a background check. But they're like, And what's your background? And they're like, don't worry about
forensics.
Reading.
You're like, they're 6 years old. I don't know if they're ready for forensics yet.
They're like interrogation techniques and profiling.
Well, you can never be too young to learn that, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, what a wild story. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this next one is from Katie, and content warning, this does have discussion of miscarriage and pregnancy trauma, and it is called Effects of Rose Overture. Christy and Heather, I wasn't going to write this, but the tone of listener stories lately, as well as how vocal you have both been about your stances on today's issues, it made me feel like I can. Still, if you choose not to share this on the podcast, that is entirely understandable, and I won't take it at all personally. My main goal is for the two of you to read it anyway. Not too long ago, I was pregnant. I'm in my mid-20s with a 4-year degree and a full-time job within my field of study. However, I want to obtain a graduate degree and get a higher job in my field too. These factors, among others, had me oscillating between picturing having a baby as if it were my greatest fantasy and feeling a debilitating sense of overwhelm. 8 weeks into the pregnancy, though, I experienced a miscarriage. This sucked by itself, but when I developed a fever and other concerning symptoms, I was absolutely terrified. I was 2 weeks beyond my state's abortion ban, and at the time, my local news was clogged with stories of a woman in my same position, in my same state, who had passed away in the hospital after doctors delayed her care for too long. I've never experienced a fear like this before. I wanted to step outside of my own body. I felt too normal for something so insane to be happening to me. I know how self-centered this might sound, and I don't mean to say it, that this should happen to others and not me. This should happen to no one, period. But I think others who have been in similar situations might understand what I mean. I kept looking for a reason that I was wrong about my own situation. I took my temperature probably more than 100 times in an hour, expecting it to suddenly be at a normal number, but it wasn't. I kept double-checking my state's restrictions, expecting to find some stipulation that actually did allow doctors near me to help, but I didn't. I kept rereading the circumstances surrounding other women in my state who had died, looking for information that might differentiate us, but nothing did. This was really happening to me. I am incredibly, incredibly fortunate. Not only do I have a car that can take me multiple states away to receive care, I have a mom willing to get in that car and drive with me. My mom drove us through the night, through 3 states, while I shivered in the passenger seat, trying not to throw up. I remember telling my mom that if anything went wrong, she had to let my dog see and smell my body, because I didn't want her to think I chose to leave. When my mom agreed to this, any illusion that I was being dramatic finally slipped away. I watched the trees flip by outside my window, and I hoped that I would be making the journey back home again. And obviously I did. I am completely and totally physically recovered today. I will be beginning graduate school in the fall, moving out of state in order to live somewhere without the bans that left me fearing for my life, and my dog will be coming along with me. Unlike so many, my story has a happy ending. The biggest reason I wanted to share this with you is because you held my hand through the whole thing, through the car speakers on the entire drive and in my headphones for my entire doctor visit, while they wheeled me from floor to floor and performed every invasive test and procedure. Your voices were there with me for the entire ordeal. I already liked your podcast, but your fearless expression of your views allowed me to find a comfort in your presence that I wasn't finding anywhere else. I hardly listened to whatever episodes I played, but I kept thinking Heather and Chrissy would think this is bullshit. Now, your podcast is my very favorite, and I look forward to the new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. If this ever stops, though, if you guys ever stop making the pod, or if I find myself in a phase where I'm not listening as much, what you guys did for me will always be there. You will always be the best part of the worst night of my life. Thank you doesn't feel strong enough, but it's all I know how to say. Thank you. Damn it.
Well, thank you, Katie.
I was trying to get to the end without crying, but it didn't happen. So
you got us both. You got us both, Katie.
Katie, this is, I'm so sorry this happened to you, first of all. We live in a state where we also have an abortion ban that is 6 weeks, and
it is bullshit. You're right. We would think it's bullshit, and we were
100%. And nobody should have to go through it, period. And I understand what you mean by like, but surely
I'm crazy.
I'm crazy, right? Like, because I didn't do anything wrong. And that's the reality, is you didn't do anything wrong. You're not crazy. The system is.
Yeah. And the idea that you have to shiver and be in pain and drive hours to go where you should just get to go to the hospital that's the closest to you. And you're right. You feel this like, this is mad, because you do see it on the screen and go, oh, that's horrible that that happened to that woman. But what an extreme case.
Yeah.
And what we're learning is these are not extreme cases, that these are more and more prevalent, that the maternal mortality rate has rocketed up in places that have laws like this. And I want to say thank you for being very brave and sharing this with us, allowing us to share it on the air, but also for this, sharing how we can help you, and when just by listening, it really helps us keep doing the show. Like, not that we're ever going to not do the show, right? And it's not that it's not a great job and a fun job and the best job that we've ever had, but making choices to discuss things like this on the episode, to share stories like this or whatever, it's a decision we have to make, right? And understanding that when we make these decisions, that when we say, this is the right thing, I don't care if you're mad, I don't care how many one-star reviews you leave or how many nasty, hateful, misogynistic, shitty, the most misogynistic, homophobic, sexist, racist comments that we've gotten on that recent TikTok that we've, not TikTok, Instagram reel, TikTok, whatever, that we posted from whomever disagrees. I don't care. Call me any name you want to call me, because people are dying. And even when they're not dying, people are suffering. And when they're suffering, if they can suffer less alone, okay, fucking call me a cunt. I don't care. I am a cunt. I'm the worst fucking cunt nightmare of your fucking life. And I'll ruin your life until shit like this is changed. And people like Katie don't have, they can listen to our podcast on a run, going to brunch with their buddies, and they don't have to take going on a road trip they want to go on to go hike at a national park that hasn't been destroyed. I will be, call me whatever bitch ass name you want to call me, because that's why we continue to say the things that we continue to say, because it's the fucking right thing to say. And you are right, Katie. It is bullshit. You're fucking right.
You're absolutely right. And while I never imagined that our podcast would be listened to in this type of scenario, it's probably the best unexpected thing to come from this job, is when we hear stories like this, that we have provided you some sort of comfort in one of the darkest moments of your life. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of that, and for being so vulnerable and sharing your story, because by no means are you the only person this has happened to. And very sadly, you're not going to be the last. I mean, it's happening every day. So get out there and vote. Don't be silent. Fuck everybody. And now I got to go read a bunch of comments, because I never do. And I got to know who called me a cunt so I can go block them.
Here's the fun thing, too. Scream into the void, men. By the way, 99% of them are white men. The other percentage of them are white women. Do fucking better. Do fucking better. Mostly white people, but anybody. Do fucking better. Empathy, kindness, listening, compassion. They've turned the show off by now, but if for whatever reason, like, this is the kind of story you need to fucking listen to, because this is reality. Mm-hmm. And you can put your fingers in your ear and say it's not reality, but it is reality. That suffering has emerged from very thoughtless, callous, not even thoughtless, but I will say carefully thought, but callous, hateful, controlling policies. They're true. That's why we get pissed about the policy part, is because suffering emerges from it. Whether it is Marcellus Williams is killed because he's under a state that's happy to execute an innocent person, or whether Katie has to drive 6 hours while she's suffering, shivering, and hopefully not dying and making her final wishes known to her mother. Mm-hmm. And it's the ripple effect of suffering that we discussed too, because Katie has gone through a lot, but so did her mom, mm-hmm. and so did her friends and her doctor and her therapist and her other, you know what I mean? It's like, this is the person that had to get this emergent patient, the healthcare provider that still does do this work in a place where they're allowed to, is now overburdened with, not that you're a burden, Katie, but it's unfair that that doctor now has to take extra patients. I'm sure they do it happily, but it is this, now we're creating suffering by these things. So I think it is immoral and unjust for us to stay silent on these policies. Mm-hmm. And I would ask a person who wants you to stay silent on a policy like that to look yourself in the fucking mirror. And when someone says they are dying, for you to say, shut up and just give me my comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone's dying. Like,
someone, lots of people are. And when you even like break it down to, if you are pro-life or pro-choice, at 8 weeks, if you have a miscarriage, it's no longer viable under anybody's science. So what are you going to do? Have them
yes.
just die at yes. because they miscarried at 8 weeks? They didn't even make the decision to have an abortion.
No.
It just happened. So why wouldn't we help someone that's had a medical crisis that they didn't ask for to save their life? Also, I just want to say, even if you did have an abortion,
you still should be
entitled to that right, and it shouldn't matter. I'm just saying, like, if you are one of those people that don't agree with abortion, like, this isn't even abortion. This is medical care. This yes. is just health care.
You are now controlling the body of a person that you don't know in a situation you couldn't expect. And now there are these unintended consequences. And seeing that we have these unintended consequences, laws like that should be repealed. I believe they are unconstitutional. I think mm-hmm. our Supreme Court was bought and paid for. And you look at the face of Amy Coney Barrett at the recent State of the Union. She knows she fucked up. It's like, you all know you've sold your soul to the devil. I hope it all comes out what they got in exchange
yeah,
for what they've done.
Yeah, I hope your fucking beach house or whatever you got is real miserable. Worth it.
All your student loans got paid off or whatever. It's like, you're going straight to hell for that, to the extent that they believe to, you know what I mean? To trade the suffering of others for your own gain mm-hmm. is sick shit. So anyway, like you said, even if you were like, I don't think people should just have abortions on demand, wasn't what she was trying to do. She was trying
just
not to fucking die.
Yeah. Abortion is healthcare, first of all.
First of all.
And this is, it's insane to me that you could... this is just insane to me. And I thank you, Katie, for sharing this. And for anyone else that's gone through this, you're not alone. And just another reminder of how important it is to get out there and vote for the people that have our best interests at heart.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for sharing. And just for everybody that's listened, thanks for taking the time to listen to her story and understanding that this is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reality beyond, you know, and it's like, well, politics, every politic has a personal story behind it. And it's like, what's that story? And it's this.
Also, when people tell us or anyone to like, stop being political, bitch, life is political. Like everything you have is when you drill it down, it's based on some kind of policy.
Yeah.
So to say not to be political is like, so I just shouldn't open my mouth. You just want me to fucking binge watch the latest season of Love Island and like have no opinions. Like even if you look at that, that's all based on like everything yeah. can be traced back to politics. And there's nothing wrong with being political. People that tell you not to be political are saying that because they don't agree with your politics. And your politics are just healthcare, equal rights, human rights. It's not anything, it shouldn't be anything controversial.
No, and I'm cribbing from James Baldwin when I say, like, it's one thing to have a difference of opinion, but if the difference of opinion is predicated on, like, dehumanizing the other person, it's not an opinion then. So that's kind of where you go. It's like, I think that taxes should be 26% instead of 27% is not the same as women don't get to make choices about yeah. their healthcare. That's right. Like two different things. One is a targeted policy at a specific group, or versus let's just round up anybody that we think might be or whatever. So that that's the concern that we're moving towards. So all that to say, thank you, Katie, for sharing the reality behind what I think gets put up as this big, splashy, untouchable big issue, when actually it's made up of millions of little tiny stories like this. Sinisterhood will be right back.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this next one is from S, and the subject line is cornered. My experience happened about a year ago, and the memory of it pops up more often than I'd like to admit. I've worked for a military contractor for over 10 years, and this is definitely a one-off traumatic event. My warehouse is off-base, but open to the public. Unfortunately, it's in an old room in an old building, and there's only one way out and one way in. My colleague, also female, and I were winding down our day when a large uniformed man, who I quickly recognized as a two-star general due to his uniform insignia, stormed through the door. He demanded to know why a sign he had mailed to us a few weeks ago wasn't prominently displayed in our window. It's important to note that this sign was never requested, was poorly designed, misused our logo, not to mention it was about 3 feet long by 2 feet wide, and it was heavy. I explained that we'd be happy to work with them on coming up with a collaborative design, but due to the above mentioned reasons, we would not be displaying his sign. Well, that ticked him off. He threw his cover, hat, down on my desk, knocking over my water bottle. He demanded that I get him a knife and he would cut out the areas that I had issues with. I felt trapped, and I could tell my colleague felt similarly. We had no way out of our office, and this very large man had us blocked in, demanding a sharp object. I let him know he could call my boss and gave him his card, thinking that would get him out of our space. Nope. He called my boss right then, who unfortunately didn't answer. He demanded the knife again and was not backing down. I knew I was doing the right thing and was not going to back down from my decision. I was amazed how assertive I sounded, despite how small he was making me feel in that moment. After he called my boss again and began opening cupboards and drawers, assumingly looking for a knife, I began packing up my things and my colleague did the same. We made up the excuse that we needed to get to a meeting and began walking behind him, turning the lights off as we went. I reiterated how we'd be happy to collaborate on a sign, but we would not be hanging his shitty sign on our window. The whole interaction lasted about 10 minutes, and I left feeling shaken and sick to my stomach. The whole interaction lasted about 10 minutes, and I left feeling shaken and sick to my stomach. When I tried to explain the situation to my boss, male, and my boyfriend, I was frustrated that they didn't get it. Sure, they were supportive and sorry that it happened, but it's hard to communicate the feelings a female has when cornered by a large, powerful male who seemingly doesn't care what you have to say. Thanks for listening. I knew I needed to write this out and process the trauma. Appreciate you two for allowing me the space to do it.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that. That is bonkers. Perhaps one of the most insane things is give me a knife and I'll cut out the issue. So what, you're going to have a 3-foot sign with just
a hole in the
parts
middle
cut out, like redacted?
That's what it is. It's like, you're not thinking clearly, no. So I'm not going to give you a knife.
Also, he's just not thinking clearly. Yeah. He's just pissed off that he didn't get his way and is taking it out on two women, and your boyfriend and your boss need to have a little talking to, because They might not be able to get it like we do, but they can empathize and get it in that way and agree that it's messed up and that it's something that needs to be changed and take your feelings seriously. It is very intimidating and scary to be in a room that you can't get out of with a huge man in a uniform.
Yeah, especially if he outranks you. I mean, you're a contractor, but it's like, you know, he's like a high ranking mm-hmm. individual. He has power. He's larger than you. He's now blocking the exit. And starts to behave. And that's kind of the concern, I think, with a lot of folks. It's like, well, he was just mad about the sign. And it's like, you can't just assume that that's all they're going to be mad about, though, when they're acting so irrationally over something that it's like, surely he's not going to freak out. It's just a sign. Well, he came in and freaked out about just a sign. Mm-hmm. When you give him a knife, is he going to freak out about the knife? Is he going to freak out about the... It's like, this is a person that's proven that they're kind of... Their behavior is aberrant. So it definitely causes concern. And then you add in the power imbalance factors. It's like game over.
Yeah. Even if he's only mad about the sign, you don't talk to people like that.
No.
You don't get to talk to people. Like, you don't treat people that way.
Take my hat.
This is how women smartly get out of these situations. Instead mm-hmm. of fighting or anything, it's just like, well, I'm going to pack up and turn these lights off and we're just going to usher you out like a child. We're just all leaving now, aren't we? And that's how you do it.
We have to redirect you and treat you like a toddler having a meltdown. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Well, S, good Lord. I'm glad you made it out of there and banned that guy from the warehouse. He can't come back.
I don't know how that stuff works, but report him to somebody if you can.
No, for sure. Well, thank you. Well, this next one is from Jesse, and the subject line is update on stalker in the warehouse. Hey, sinister aunties. Shortly after you read my brother's story on Freaky Friday 152, I sent the episode to my sister and she has given me some updates. First, a correction to my original story. John did not start texting Kay until 5 months after he was fired. So this man had fallen off Kay's radar for a while before the weirdness began. The Word doc of text messages has now reached 45 pages. A few weeks ago, John left a threatening voicemail for Kay's boss's boss that essentially said, "You better sign my unemployment papers or else." Since John has displayed some documented unhinged behavior, the police were notified again. When Kay updated the police with a new 45-page long document, the police told him some brief information about John's previous arrest. "We were under the impression that he had broken into an abandoned building, but it turns out that after having a procedure done at the local hospital, John was getting verbally aggressive with staff and refused to leave the hospital grounds. It was there that he was arrested for trespassing, as he had been asked several times to leave. The location of this arrest doesn't really change the story. It just added weirdness to the tale. The police then told Kay that he didn't have to worry about John sneaking up on him because, quote, he's had some more of his legs amputated. We were not aware that he had had any portion of his legs amputated. Also, more of his legs sounds a bit like he has more than the normal two legs. About a week ago, Kay was training a new supervisor, basically the guy that covers Kay's job in the evening. While Kay was out to lunch, his office phone kept ringing and ringing. Thinking it could have been Kay's wife with a family emergency, the new supervisor answered the phone, only to get an earful of John. John went off on a rant about the company's CEO and other higher-ups. He also said he was getting ready to drive his car into the building and blow it up. This was when Kay came back to the office, and the new supervisor muted himself and told Kay, "There's an unhinged man on your phone." And Kay's response was, "Oh, yeah, that's John." The police surrounded the warehouse, they searched the building to make sure it was safe, and they waited, but nothing happened. I just searched our county's arrest records and have found nothing on a more recent arrest, so it looks as though he hasn't been arrested for this more recent threat. But this is what we know so far. John is out there, and he is planning nefarious things, even without some of his legs.
That is an interesting detail for a police officer to include. I also would say people can still sneak up on you.
Certainly. Yeah, it's ableist to think that he couldn't.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. That's very strange.
It's odd.
Yeah, the detail, though, of it started happening 5 months after.
That's
just shows you, like, this guy was just sitting on all that for 5 months. festering.
Just, yes, thinking about Kay and thinking about the warehouse and like, I'm going to get him back. I'm going to get him. And 27 pages to 45. I mean, that's like almost a doubling. Mm-hmm. That's like so much. Not quite a doubling, but almost.
I hope he gets the help he needs. He sounds like he's unstable. And I'm glad the cops took it seriously when you get a phone call that somebody's about to drive their car through your building. I will say, all of those cops going out there and all that, he's just wasting resources and taxpayers' dollars by making false threats, which that in and of itself is a crime. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope that he is charged and also gets help that he needs medically and mentally.
No, truly, because the police should absolutely at least cite him for, like you said, making a false threat or false report or whatever, but taking all of the phone calls, the threats, the text messages together, I would think that would support a stalking charge, but depends on the state that they're in. Some states you have to have been in an intimate relationship for it to be counted as like stalking, but other states it's more than three incidences in such a period, time period, just varies based on state. So if Kay wants to ask about pursuing that, that might be something, especially since it's escalated and you don't want the cops to go, well, he's had his legs amputated, so he's not dangerous. He can clearly still drive a car. Yeah. And he was like, that's what he was going to use for terrorism. So, and harm. So
you
let's
don't
not
use
just
your
assume.
Legs to shoot a gun usually.
Yeah. So they should take that a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, keep God us damn. Updated and I hope that Kay is all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Check in with Kay. How's Kay feeling? I mean, even though, I think this is a thing where because it's two men involved, it might be hard for someone to be like, this is actually scary. I will admit I'm scared about this, but it's very unhinged and scary. So I hope that Kay knows that like all of those feelings are very valid.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to get a phone call five times that saying I'm going to go blow up your work.
That's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the update. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this last one is from Angela, and the subject line is "The Necklace That Disappeared." Hello, I've been a sponge to your podcast, absorbing all the content I can. I love it and love you guys, so thank you for making my days more enjoyable. So my story is about a necklace I had in college that literally just vanished. When I graduated high school in 2013, my lovely parents got me a Tiffany necklace. This was definitely a splurge of a gift in our household. It had a delicate thin silver chain with a copper slim bar pendant. I wore it every day since. In fact, in all photos of me during that time, you can see me wearing it. It meant a lot to me, and I was very careful with it since it was a more precious and valuable piece of jewelry. While I did wear it all the time, I usually took it off before I slept or showered. Sometimes I would sleep with it, but more times than not, it just irritated my neck while I tried to sleep. Well, one night, during my junior year in college, I went to bed without taking it off. At some point in the night, I woke up and realized I still had the necklace on, and it was bothering my neck. So I sleepily took it off, reached over to place it on my nightstand. I remember hearing shook and recognized the sound as the chain sliding. I must have missed the nightstand in the dark room in my groggy state. I figured it had just fallen to the floor, and being so tired, I went back to sleep and would just pick it up in the morning. In the morning, however, it was nowhere to be found. I looked under and behind both my nightstand and bed. I checked in the drawers of the nightstand, thinking maybe it managed to fall into one. I went so far as to take the drawers off their tracks and check inside the nightstand and in the grooves of the drawer tracks. No necklace. I will admit I was a smidge messier in college, so I had a pile or two of clothes on the floor. I thought maybe it had fallen in a pile, so I shook out and checked the pockets of all the clothes on the ground. Still, nothing. I had to leave for class, so I figured I'd find it later and left. I did a deep clean in my room later that week after the necklace still hadn't turned up. I searched everywhere, even in places it simply couldn't have ever fallen into, like inside of my shoes. I took off all the bedding and checked under my mattress and in the sheets. I even checked inside my pillowcases. I lived with three boys at the time. I know, how very new girl of me. And I had two of the boys hold up the bed while the third boy and I searched under it, checking under the feet of the bed frame too. No necklace. I had done some laundry since losing it, so I checked our washing machine and dryer in case I had somehow missed it in the clothing and it fell out in the wash. Still no necklace. Eventually, I gave up, really upset that I couldn't find it. It just didn't make sense. I had no choice but to carry on with life, and I figured, as most things do, it would turn up. Well, it didn't. Time passed, and I graduated college in 2017, and it was time to move out of the apartment I had been living in since junior year, including the room where I'd seemingly lost the necklace. This was my last chance to find it. I was sure I would come upon it either while packing or once the room was cleared. But nope. Once the room was empty, I scoured the entire floor, which was a low-ply carpet. I even tried vacuuming, figuring it would get sucked up. And no luck. A friend of mine took my room after I moved out, and I asked them to keep an eye out, and they never found it either. To this day, I've never seen that necklace again. I remember at the end of my junior year confessing to my parents that I lost it, but I felt so frustrated and also insane that I had lost it in my room. It wasn't like I was at a concert slinging it around. I had been so careful with it. Thankfully, they were understanding and the best. And when I graduated college, they gifted me a replacement. This time, instead of a copper bar, it was a tiny copper dot. I keep very extra careful track of this necklace now, and I am pleased to report that it has yet to vanish. However, the shink of the original necklace chain as it slid off the nightstand still haunts me to this day. I used to joke that it fell into the Twilight Zone, but honestly, maybe it did? I swear it really did vanish. Maybe there's some other supernatural explanation? I truly have no idea, but I know I should have found that necklace, and I have no explanation for why it was never seen again. So, what do you think? Could it have fallen into an alternate dimension? Or did it just somehow evade detection? Has anyone else lost something that seemingly vanished? Whatever happened, I've never really gotten over that loss. And when I see photos of me wearing it in college, I always feel such sadness and confusion over losing it. I've included a photo below of my freshman year self wearing the necklace in question before its disappearance. This was the clearest photo of the necklace I could find from my cringe freshman Facebook photo album, and it just so happens to be from when I won at bingo night, hence the bingo card. Anyway, this was my weird and unexplained story that came to mind when listening to Freaky Friday, so I figured I would finally submit it. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this, and thank you for being awesome people and podcasters.
Oh. I've thought about this every second since I read it because I don't understand. I don't understand much like, yeah. I mean, obviously that's the whole thing. No one understands. Angela, I don't have an explanation for you. I mean, it sounds like you went over that room with a fine tooth comb.
That's the thing about the story is it's not, well, I lost the thing. It's the thoroughness and the small area in which you lost it, and that's when you're just like, what
am I going crazy?
Yes.
Yeah.
How?
I honestly was like, I'm not even kidding, earlier today I was like,
where could that
necklace be? And I started thinking, I was like, could it have fallen in furniture? But she says she took apart a nightstand, looked in all this stuff. I was like, could it maybe have been missed and the friend that moved in next did find it but didn't want to say anything? I doubt that.
Nah. And like,
with everything out of there.
Yeah.
And then you vacuum. I don't think it was there. I think unless it fell into another dimension, it must have just somehow been overlooked. And but then where does it go? Because even if it's in laundry, at some point you would think it would fall out, yeah, or, you know, I don't.
They get hung in the dryer or whatever.
Yeah, like, unless they're, I mean, you didn't mention this, so I'm sure there's not. If there was like, you know, part of the carpet was like up or something, or the floor, yeah, was like unstable and it could have fallen down or something.
Wood floors, and it just so happens two, yeah, planks are a little bit too, and now you're having to do the wood floors up. So, I mean, low ply carpet, though, would tell, mm-hmm, you that it's, you know, that it fell like on the carpet or fell on a piece of laminate plastic, you know, like the dressers are made
out
of.
This would drive me insane until the day I took my last breath.
Here's the thing. I would think about it years later. There's stuff I've lost that I still think about.
This years later, and yeah, I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you got a replacement, but it's not, a similar replacement, but it's not the same as, no, like the one they gave you. And I thought I lost a necklace that I wore on our wedding, and I found it somewhere. I was like in a bag from when we traveled, but that was like, I knew I lost it. So, you know, I'm, mm-hmm, irresponsible. It wasn't like I put it next to my nightstand and then it was just banished. That is what me, I lose things and I'm like, you've done it again. You've done it again. But like, it always makes sense where they turn up and it's like, you forgot you put it there. This would just be mind boggling.
Yeah.
And oh, it's just going
to get the
away.
Boys involved too. You got Jess, them. You're getting, yeah, them in there. To help,
like,
you look, but
I think I lost my necklace. Would you be able to lift my? I just need someone to lift my bed up. Just a little bit.
I didn't
bit,
know
fellas.
Zooey Deschanel sounded like Kermit until this very
bit,
minute,
a bit,
but
a little bit.
This is wild. I have no explanation. I'm glad you want it, bingo. I like the Donald Duck
fuck
shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know,
we'll
man.
We'll be thinking about it.
This would dry. I will think about this for many years to come. And if anybody has an explanation,
please
let us know. Although at this point, unless your friend still lives there, I mean, 2017 was a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would even get back to it at that point, but what if we all collectively are like, it's not lost, she just overlooked it, it's still with her. And then what if you find it? What if it just appears somehow?
But that's why I'm like, I'm going to manifest that it's in an old jewelry box that you've forgotten about. And that's not where it was lost to, but that's where it will be found. How about that?
Yeah. I'm going to manifest that it will be found in some sort of old piece of clothing.
Yeah. Maybe like a pocket or a fold or
yeah,
something like that.
Or something like that. That's because I find a lot of shit under all the laundry in my closet. When I lose things, I'm like, when I lost my wallet the other day,
not good.
Like, where could my wallet be? Oh, it's under all the laundry in the closet. Well, how did it get there? Your guess is as good as mine.
May I recommend? I got a thing that's the size of a business card that has a hole in the middle, and in it you pop an AirTag in, and it fits in your wallet.
Oh,
so you can have an AirTag
smart.
In your wallet. I have to have an AirTag in my wallet because I've lost my wallet.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, luckily I have Find My Phone, and that's the only reason why I have my Apple Watch is so I can find my phone that I lose all the time. But I need to find my wallet, too.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Well, gosh. Well, we'll let you know if anybody has any good ideas, Angela.
And your parents are very sweet for understanding. I mean, of course, how I'm sure they were just as baffled as you. And even though they give you another one, it isn't the same. Mm. And I get that. Seeing pictures and you're like, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
You'll come together again. You're going to find this again.
Right. It's like, it's not the loss. It's the law. Like, it's the circumstances of the loss that is really is what gets me.
I feel
me,
like I'm going crazy.
Let's all get it back for you.
Well, we will all collectively manifest that you get your necklace back, Angela. And thank you so much for sending in your story. And thank you to everybody who sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky,
hey,
you've got something creepy caught on camera. Did you find a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video that you really want us to see. We'll send it our way at sinisterhood.com/scaries, and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon, every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. Don't worry, it is still free.
It is still free. And if you want to go and watch the archive is free as well. And you can watch all five of the past Sunday Scaries completely unedited.
Five already.
Completely unedited and uncut on Patreon.
Damn.
We're going to try to put them on YouTube but as replays, but they're going to be edited because YouTube only lets so much up there. So you can watch it free on YouTube. It's going to be delayed to get up there because we have to figure out what to edit out. So it's just faster and better and free to just go to Patreon and watch the full backlog because it's a good time.
We also, good you time. Get to see everybody's pictures of their pets in the chat and chat yeah. along. But yeah, it's totally chat. Free. You don't even have to sign up as on a tier. You just sign up as a free member. And then you also get stuff just sent to you for being a free member and archived bonus content once a month and all sorts of other different free things we've done over the year.
Absolutely. Sundays, 8:30. We'll see you there.
Well, speaking of Patreon, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content such as Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We just had one on Heather Saves. It was from the Aldi subreddit. So yeah. You'll hear that coming up soon.
Wow. God bless you, woman.
Yeah, we also
wrote that in.
bless your heart. We also offer free trials where you can join for free for a week at any of the paid tiers. Check out all the perks that come along with it and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. What are some of the perks people could get?
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As on the third Thursday of every month, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and most importantly, a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Well, make sure you use that merch discount when you head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show and submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025.
I've been watching live streams of people on cruise ships.
Oh, yeah, those are fun. Gosh, and they're just up on the Lido deck at night looking out at the ocean. I watch those a lot too.
I've been having a mad amount of FOMO because of that. I was like, I want to go to there. Now we get to go to there, not just any there, because I'm not trying to get on a cruise ship and go anywhere. I'm trying to get on a cruise ship with Christy Wallace, with Ed and Henry from last podcast, with Scared to Death and True Crime Campfire. And we are going to do one of the funnest things, which is to talk about all kinds of creepy stuff while on a ship thousands of miles from any sort of land and sailing through the Bermuda Triangle. So that's really what got me to sign up was that we're going to the Bermuda Triangle. They were like, we don't put that on the literature. I'm like, but I'm going to
say
it.
Well, we do.
True. But I'm going to say it. They're like, we don't tell everybody that we're going to the Bermuda Triangle. I'm like, well, you should because you are and we are too. So yeah. Come hang out.
We're just being transparent that we yes. will be sailing through the Bermuda Triangle. But you know what? Shit couldn't get much worse. So maybe we'll slip timelines and we'll come out better than we were before.
Exactly. So just mark your calendars. November 3rd through the 7th is when everything changes. We slip through the time gap in the Bermuda Triangle with us and all the other fun folks we already said at crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Get your fan code. They'll text you updates. And the fan code is how you book your room. So the fan code is free. Anybody can grab one. But the rooms, you got to book yours before it's too late, before it's sold out.
Yeah.
So get on there. crimewaveatsea.com/sinister.
And if you want to go, but you maybe want a roommate. You want to split the cost of that room. Over on our Discord, we have a specific channel just for Crime Wave and people that are trying to connect. So you can head over there and maybe find a new bestie.
That's the fun part of this. I've been watching those videos and I'm like, people are just dancing. You're just making new friends.
Most people are having a good time when they're on a cruise ship.
Oh, well. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over at Sinisterhood Podcast on TikTok to watch clips from episodes and watch full Wednesday episodes as well as clips from Freaky Friday on our YouTube channel at Sinisterhood Podcast.
Yeah, you get to see us. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Not this one, but you'll see it someday.
You'll hear that one. Yeah, I forgot. We only pick one story from Freaky Friday. So, well, no, you may see. I don't know. Who knows? We'll Who knows what will happen?
Maybe someday. We'll just put them all up there. Well, if you're looking for a really fun, unique, and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or just want to treat yourself, which we love anytime, to a pep talk, some advice from us, regardless, Cameo is the way to go. Book one for yourself or the loved one in your life to say happy birthday, a birth announcement, congratulations on any number of accomplishments. We will create a custom video shout out that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's the thoughtful gift that's also perfect if you didn't think very much in advance and you need something that you can send digitally right away. There's no shipping, anything like that. And we've got anything in the menagerie that can be included. Myself with McGruff, the Lucifer body, Horsehead Lady body hasn't been requested in a while. So
damn, Corn Skull either.
Or the McGruff head, which I have not put on since that one time. That, so you got to really ask for the McGruff
head. And it's starting to get warm here already. So you got to get it in before it turns like sweltering, levels of McGruff.
From Memorial Day to Labor Day is the McGruff head and the Lucifer head shoulder season, which you can't book
can't. Because Heather will pass away.
Unless it's a really big event, then maybe I'll put it on for you. But anyway, cameo.com/sinisterhead. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm pretty much everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
And keep it creepy.
Sinister.